Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special episode. You know, every episode is special of Padawan, the Padawan Limited podcast. Today, I am joined by Corey again. I can't get rid of him.
Hello.
And then, I am also joined by a good friend of ours in the local community, Kenny. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on. We talked about this probably about a month ago. You are a listener in some form or fashion, but more importantly, you are like a, for this conversation, you're a good friend, and you're a really strong competitor within the scene, within the Star Wars Limited scene. You might not be as flashy as some of those other folks out there, but we talked about this just moments ago. You are one of the very few people, and I'm talking like this is an elite group of people that has done really well in a sector qualifier, a limited format draft, and actually constructed. So you have top eighted a sector qualifier in the limited and draft format, which is, I think, Philadelphia, which is very recent. And you have like gone really far. You made deep runs into planetary qualifiers with this constructed format. So you have gone, at least within the last month, you've gotten top eight, top four, at least twice that I'm aware of. If there's more, let me know. But I can't, I don't know, I can't sing your accolades enough. But more importantly, you're a really good guy. So thank you so much for joining us. All right. So this is the day before New Year's when we're recording this. So if you are
last
listening
to last podcast of the year,
last podcast of the year, Happy New Year to everyone out there, because it's coming out on Thursday.
I was going
to
say, right? It'll be the first podcast of the year.
Yeah.
For the listeners.
Yeah. Some people are already done. They're already like over this. They're like, all right, whatever. Yeah. It's 2026. But we want to close out this year talking about the last most important aspect, in my opinion, of this trading card game community, which is connection. That's going to be our main segment. But before that, we'll talk about the collection segment, which, Corey, what do you got for us?
Yeah, sure. So it's funny because last week we said there was nothing spoiled, no new stuff from FFG. And the very next day on Christmas, they gave us a little present and they revealed Chopper, which is a legendary, right? I think he's a legendary card.
He's uncommon. No, he's legendary.
Sorry, you're right. Uncommon. No, okay. I was thinking of the other Chopper from Secrets, right? He's a legendary, I think. Anyway, yeah. I'm totally wrong there, but he's a 2-cost green red heroism, 1/4, 1/2, but he's got raid 1, and when played, you can give an experience token to this unit if you control a yellow or blue, which are outside of his aspects that he has, give 2 experience tokens to him instead. So I'm curious, Kenny, when you saw this, what'd you think of it, and did you get excited at all, or?
It really made me wish it had come out before Hera was about to leave. Same with Zeb, but that is probably, honestly, like, one of my friends at local kind of has, like, the monopoly on playing Hera, but I might have to make a Hera deck myself. Or Eternal, whether it's...
Yeah, he is a Rebel Droid Spectre trait, so there's some good traits there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's been... like one of my favorite shows, Rebels. Like if you on Discord, my profile picture is the mural from Rebels. So that's been, I haven't really made a deck using all of them, which would really just be Hera, but Hera or Kanan. That is something I'm excited to at least try out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It looks like Rebels and some of the Spectres are going to get as a little bit better, the set. As I say Rebels, I mean Rebels, the TV show.
Yeah. If they have another Hera leader, I am spending money to get that. I think that's gonna be so cool, for sure, for the collection. Which, by the way, Kenny, you do collect the cards, right? You're not just like, you don't just compete. I feel like we've traded, actually, but you do collect. Do you have like an extensive collection, or do you like have choice cards? You're like, I only want these things.
I don't like go out and like I have a playset of pretty much everything. I might be missing some stuff from the set 6 though, but I get a good amount of boxes. You get a probably like box or 2%, maybe 3.
Okay. From my experience, Kenny, like it's almost every time I need the cards or something, you always like, oh, I got you. Like you've always got them for me if I needed them.
I'm always one of lend out a card for a day or two. Or if I have more than 3 and it's not like a $30 card, I'm usually willing to just hand them out to some friends. That's fine with me. Most of my collection is just stuff I've opened, or whether it's from regular packs, Carbonite stuff, or like the promo stuff. I don't target stuff like trade for, but there's, I don't know, something like special about a card that I opened, or a lot of times I open packs, me and my brothers, so I'm we open together. So that's what
Oh,
most of
that's
my
cool.
collection is.
Yeah.
Nice.
New set looks pretty cool too, so I'm excited for that. And they did show off some artwork for it. Did you guys see that? Some new artwork.
No, tell me more. What happened
Well,
with this artwork? What do they got?
yeah, so they've been spoiling a little bit of artwork on the socials. They showed a young Lando at like a Sabacc table or something playing. They showed a new Rey picture with her looking at her yellow lightsaber. And they showed Zuckuss, another Zuckuss. That means a lawless time. You gotta have Zuckuss. Did you see those, Kenny? Because I'm wondering if you guys think those are all gonna be
I think I
units
saw
or
those.
events or upgrades or what.
Yeah. Were they like in the? They're just on
They
social, or they're
were
like.
on Blue Sky. Like I think that's where I saw them.
So okay,
We'll have
so
to
they were
post
just
them in the
like.
Discord.
No, I don't have them in front of me. I am wondering, three Zuckuss before a second Forlorn? I don't know. I need a second Forlorn.
It would feel incomplete if you didn't get that. Which now that I think about it, by the way, like it's interesting that they're sharing this art in all their social platforms, but like I didn't see any of the art in the actual like Discords and stuff. So
Yeah.
if it's a it is a good point, I think, that if you want to be in the know with Star Wars Unlimited, I mean eventually it'll get to you, but like there you have to kind of like invest in all the other social media platforms to get the last up-to-date information. Because I think I saw the Lando, not Lando, yeah, the Lando Calrissian Donald Glover version picture. It looked really good. In my head, it was like a replacement of the Cunning card.
Oh, okay,
Like
yeah, it's an interesting idea. It definitely
because I
has that
think,
feel to it now that I'm looking at it.
yeah, but like more credit based slash gambling, which I think would be really cool.
We'll get
Yeah,
these in the
which
spoiler Discord channel for you guys when you're listening to this.
once the new set comes out, this is a random aside. I started pricing out cards for set one, two, three, or set one particularly, just to see what the prices look like. Because I want to fill out the master set for set one. And I stopped after like probably six cards because it was so expensive. Do we think that set seven is going to be good for collectors overall or bad?
I mean, I don't really know, but given either one, I'd like to think it's gonna be good. Just with set seven in general, I think a lot of the consensus is people this past set might have been checked out waiting for rotation or waiting to get into the game for the first time or after. So I think, or at least I'm hoping, that's gonna bring a lot more excitement back to it just from like a player base. And then with that, it kind of makes the market more valuable. It makes everything more valuable the more people that are playing.
Right.
So
No, I think it's going to be good overall for collectors because we're getting new cards, new variations, new treatments, and the fact that you're going to be able to pull cards from the like a normal prestige card from a regular pack, that's going to be exciting for people. So overall, I think it'll be good. And obviously, with the rotation happening, these cards will be much more valuable as far as competitive play goes. So that could help with some of the collector aspects of it.
yeah, I'm going back and thinking about. I'm trying to go back and think about all the cards for the jump to light speed to current that are gonna be like relevant for the next year or so, and what might be valuable.
Yeah, what are those replacements for your staples right now, right? So that's what we're gonna have to see and what comes in with seven. Do we get reprints? Are we going to get things that are staples like resupply? I know there's a little te like that's a testy subject.
I hope not, but I think so. This is my what I think when it comes to like investing or cards, like because this is credit based and credits are going to be the replacement of resources, or like not replacement.
A new
You're adding
mechanic, at
your
least,
new
yeah.
mechanic. You're adding more resources to your pile, which is not only which by the way is I think going to make limited really fun because it's going to be you could actually play cards that are not six cost. You could actually play like seven or eight, but I think that like all of those expensive, quote unquote expensive, like 9 cost, 10 level to 14, like Annihilator or whatever, right? Those cards are going to be so much more playable because you can bank, I'm assuming you could be able to bank like credits
Right.
and then be able to play like a monster unit on 7 resource turns or turn 5, 6 or whatever. And that'll be like, that'll bring, I think to me, that'll make a lot of the collecting aspect of it, like the cards that might not seem valuable now, valuable in the future. But I don't know. That's
Yeah, I mean, new sets are
that's my
always going
opinion.
to change. Like, look at what happened with Force Throw when Legends came out. Like, that just became a huge card that everybody's looking for. So, new sets will always change the values of cards that may not look like they're valuable now, but with the new mechanic, the new set of cards, everything's going to be getting better. But I did note, like, because it is the end of the year, I noticed that there's different sites like Card Market and TCG Player that have been showing off their most like best sellers and things like that. And they had the top three cards for SWU for Star Wars Unlimited, the top three sales. So like unique sales, not the number of cards specifically, but the number of times that card was sold to a person out there. Number three was Power of the Dark Side. That was the number third highest number of unique sales. Two was Ruthless Raider. And number one was Overwhelming Barrage. So my question is, do we see any of those three cards ever again?
Hope not. But Kenny, I'd love your opinion there. Do you care? Would you want to see any of those come back?
Think so. Just because, like, Overwhelming Barrage, maybe you see something like a similar style effect, but I know as far as like part of the dark side and stuff, they're trying to get away from events that just straight up kill units, especially for three cost. I've even been thinking, like, as far as events that do that, like sets from set four and beyond, I can only think of the one charged with whatever the blue one is, charged with something, and you just disclose double blue and kill something that attacked your base this phase. Other than that, I can't. No, I'm sure there are some that I'm missing, but
Charged
I was thinking.
with murder, right? That card, it's a 4-cost, disclose 2 vigilance cards. If you do defeat a damaged non-leader unit, that card.
So there's
Yeah.
that, but like other, all the rest of the effects that are left over that I can think of at least are like -5, -5, -3, -3 on Anakin and like defeating units that way. Because I was thinking about like Chewbacca post rotation,
Yeah.
and like his effect doesn't apply to nearly as many things post rotation as it does now. Like you can't
Yeah.
vanquish, you can't November, you can't part of the dark side. So as far as them like reprinting something like part of the dark side, I don't think so. Ruthless Raider is in effect that team is probably fine. I don't think anybody's really got a problem with Ruthless Raider. I know part of the dark side and Overwhelming Barrage people have problems with.
If they do reprint them, I hope they up the rarity and like make them legendary cards or something. And like,
That'd be
I mean, maybe
interesting.
not reprint it, but do something. You could do something similar, but like make it harder to get them because it's insane that those cards are like uncommons, but they're so useful. Like
Yeah.
they do so much good stuff. We shall. That's interesting, Kenny. I didn't know that. I never thought about how FFG is trying to go away from like single target event removal cards just in general. That's a fascinating insight. That would lead in. Yeah, that's a fascinating insight. I'm just thinking about that like in my head, like, huh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, this is like Tom Crow and the Java leader kind of do that, but in a much more complicated and fair way.
Right.
Complicated in a
But like I
fair
said,
way.
I'm like neutral on probably not. Like, I mean, we'll get to that. That's the only point. As far as them reprinting it, I don't think so.
Cool.
That's that's interesting. Like again, those were the most sold cards last year from TCG Player. So I'm curious,
Which
because they are getting all of them are getting rotated out, and they were all from set one.
I could believe that. I mean, Jango was a big thing. Kira or any blue green villainy has always been a strong combination of cards, and those are like iconic cards for those pieces for those builds. So I could totally believe that.
Oh,
So
absolutely.
yeah. Any last thing you want to talk about for collection, Corey?
No, that's all I had for you guys. If there's anything else that you wanted to share.
No. No, I'm good. All right, cool. So let's move on to the meta segment. So Rob, unfortunately, is incapacitated today due to family obligations. It is New Year's Eve, as usual. So won't be able to he won't be able to join us. But I did want to take a
He's
look
also moving.
into.
I think he has a lot going on right now. So
he just finished. He just finished his move, actually. So, yeah. So he is settling into his new home. And I think
Oh,
his
that's
lease
great.
closes tomorrow or something like that. So let's moving on to the meta segment. Today we're going to talk about I'd love to get to talk about the limited and the limited format drafting and sealed, especially since we have someone who's done so well with it at a previous event going into the next year, because I know locally we're going to have some PQs for the limited format coming into New York or whatever. So and I know that there's probably going to be at least a couple others out there. I'll go first. I think just talking about some cards that I think might be useful, or maybe some general strategies. To reiterate from I think previous podcasts, and Kenny, correct us. I would love your insight here. What we have at what we here at Padawan Limited have kind of assumed are like the top leaders for this set in terms of limited are Jabba the Hutt, Leia. And then it's kind of like a multi-way tie for the last one. So depending on the card mix, it could be Dedra, it could be Admiral Yularen, it could be, there's a this is where it gets really tiered down. Do you when you I don't I'm assuming you've played some limited sealed format stuff. Do you agree with that, well, at least the top two leaders? Or do you think there's other leaders that are just really powerful that are underestimated?
I do think generically, just across the board, Leia is probably the strongest. I think Jabba with the right cards has the highest ceiling, so to speak.
Okay.
Like a really well-built Jabba deck is gonna be close to impossible to beat. Not impossible. It's gonna be hard to beat. And then for me personally, for the third spot, I'd give it to Dedra. That's been the leader I played the most sealed, especially during pre-release. If I open an aggressive negotiations and a Dedra, I'm playing Dedra or something,
Oh, nice.
unless I've got 15 cards that can go in the deck, and the rest would have to be hero out of aspect stuff.
Yeah.
I think just the theme with them is they impact the board with their ability. Like Mon Mothma's fine because she makes your deck a little better overall because you have to play the best cards from out of aspect. But Jabba, Leia, and Dedra are doing something to the board,
Yeah.
and they're also doing they give you that the ability to spend one resource in for your leader ability. Usually it's a drawback in constructed, but in limited it kind of helps you. If you only have a four cost on your five resource turn,
Okay.
it gives you something to do with that extra resource. So it's kind of like you're always getting the most out of your turn. So you have the opportunity to spend that one resource and fill your curve, make sure you're using the most out of everything you have so far. But yeah, and they're also just, like I said, doing stuff to the board, layers popping your stuff. Jabba and Dedra are both taken out in the unit, hopefully.
Okay. No, that's a great assessment. It's like level two, like if there's multiple levels, it's like the next level of how you play the game, filling out your curve, right? Using up all your resources so that you are doing the most you can on your turn to benefit yourself. That's like that next level. People just I know when I first used to play limited and sealed, it was just whatever card I could play, and then I kind of just forget about all the other stuff. But that's a good point. So what you're saying, if I'm hearing this right, is if you have Dedra and aggressive negotiations, play it and you'll win your PQ or any competitive. That's kidding. But I agree though. That's a very powerful combination for this set. Corey, I don't know. Have you played any limited or sealed within the last couple, like within the last month or so, or was it just
The
the
last time I
pre-release?
did a limited or sealed event or draft anything was during the pre-release. So that was my only experience with it. There wasn't that many drafts around for us to do, or for me anyway. I couldn't really find too many that would fit my schedule. So I just haven't been able to do any of those. I'm very excited to do a draft event for this set, and the limited was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. So as far as the leaders, I definitely agree. As far as the top two go, they seem like they're the best. Dedra, I think, is unique because it could kind of be a aggro if you want it, because she can come out real early. But if you get the cards and can kind of play the long game, she can come out whenever, and you can still use her that way. So that's interesting. But I do think Price is pretty cool too. There's a lot of token generation in this deck, in this set, and she's allows you to ready your tokens. And she, I think it costs a resource for that power as well. So that kind of fits into your thinking there, Kenny. What do you think about Price? Have you guys used her at all in a limited format?
For go ahead, go, Kenny.
I think I have once or twice. With a good pool. That's the thing with this set, you're really not there's a wide enough spread of good leaders that you're never really in a situation where you're just you look at your six leaders or the three ones you drafted and you feel like you're done for the day. There's enough every leader not every like a good three quarters of the leaders are like very playable in the draft or the sealed pool. But price just
I actually agree with you there. I think that, I mean, given the right card combination, I don't think I've ever been disappointed with any leader that I've gotten playing a draft or sealed event. Some of them are definitely harder to play with, like Lamasu or something. But even like C3PO, I've seen do well. I think C3PO actually won like a major event, like C3PO like Red won like a limited event. So I'm with you, Kenny.
Definitely. No, that's a great point. Like that's great when you can open up a six packs for a sealed event and not feel like, well, I'm just not gonna do well because all my leaders are terrible. Here it looks like we have some options that are pretty good and exciting and fun. Like I think all the leader powers at least are fun, if not super strong. They're all at least fun mechanics and can kind of get those juices flowing as far as creativity of what you're putting in and taking out of the decks and what limited options you have. And like that's my question for you, Kenny, I guess, is like what when you're getting those decks, like obviously you're looking for certain cards, but does that blind you to your deck buildings? Like, I need aggressive negotiations in Dedra and I didn't get it, so now what do I do? Like how does that approach, like how do you approach that in as far as what you're hoping for and leader combinations?
Well, I'm usually like most people, I would say it starts with the pre-release event. Usually by the third one, hopefully, or I usually do the weekend, so it'll be like four or five events. At a certain point, you just open your packs and you're like, whether it's from using it yourself, having it played against you, or just an understanding of the game, knowing what stats are good for what cost, what abilities are good. You kind of just open them and see, okay, I like the Enforcer Squadron, so I'm gonna think Red Villain as I'm opening the rest of my stuff. But I think most important and where you should start is just with your one and two cost units. Because the quickest way to lose a game of sealed is not to have anything to play on turn one. It's like coming back with a constructed deck is tough but doable. Coming back from like playing nothing and then having a Nemic or something.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
that's probably worst case scenario, but something like that. That's because it limited's all about board control and losing your turn one for free by not having one is very, very detrimental. But I'm
I
always looking
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
just turn ones first. If I can get a good seven at least, I'm hoping for like eight, maybe ten. Eight to nine is what I'm hoping for, but with a good leader and aspect combo, seven's like doable.
Do you count events as turn one plays? So like if you had like the knowledge card, knowledge and defense as like a turn one, I think it's a two cost. Is it three cost? Let me I forget.
It's three.
That's three. Oh, never
There's
mind.
that faith in your friends. I see that's a
Yeah, faith in your friends.
popular
Would
one.
that count as part of your ratio of getting in the eight to nine like turn one plays, or no? It's only units.
There's some like this isn't a limited example necessarily, but when I was playing with Car Saxon, I had covering the wing in there that makes the X wing and puts a shield on something.
Okay.
So I would consider that like half of a turn one play when deciding how many to have in the deck. But there's the ones that like make a spy. That's isn't it like half a turn one play? Facing your friends, if you have the yellow Imperial cards to do it, then yeah, that's a full turn. But other ones that are like the one that's like ready a unit that has an attack that didn't enter play and make a spy, that's like just a spy for two, which is not, it's better than not having anything, but you're hoping for more than just a spy for two.
Okay.
So yeah, that's not so you don't want to play that on turn one, but if you have to, it's better than nothing.
Okay. I think a really good benchmark, I think, for people who are new to the limited like format to work with, because I think deck construction is always a tough thing, right? Especially when you're like new to a game, you're like, ah, what cards do I want? You know, what should I be grabbing? I actually in my head, I've never ha I actually go for like double digits. Like I try to get like 10 or something. But it's interesting that you feel s relatively safe with 8, because that what that means is that you can then change those. That ratio means you can have bigger long-term plays like 7 costs or whatever. And I feel like this set specifically like leans into like longer games, especially with like the Jabbas and the Leias. Like you're going to turn 7, 8, 9 sometimes, like easily actually with like especially when you're playing against Jabba, because I think you mentioned it's all about board control, and Jabba does a lot of board control, like specifically. So interesting ratio. I'm definitely gonna put that in my back pocket, and I hope other people do too.
Yeah, well, you are what limiting your deck to 30 as well, right? So it's not that 50 deck where you want to have double digits to make sure you're in like a good ratio. So it makes sense to not have to go too high. Like you don't want half your deck to be one turn one place, because then like you're just drawing turn one plays at that 7 turn play or whatever, and
Yeah.
what are you gonna do at that point? You have no cards.
Yeah, it's like, unless my math is wrong, which it might be. 8 in a 30 card deck is like 12 in a 50 card deck, which is, it's about what I kind of give myself. I mean, I don't, if it's a more aggressive size, you might see more than 12 in a constructed deck, but.
Yeah,
Okay.
I guess it also comes down to like
It,
what
like,
you pull, right? So
yeah. So like, if I have 10 playable two cost units, I'll probably play all 10. But I don't, maybe it's just been something with me, but this set, especially I feel like I'm not getting a lot of, I'm ending up with pools and I'm like, I like six of these two cost units and that's it. Or I like five of them and four of them are okay. So I'll play like two out of the four that are okay, or like maybe three out of the four that are okay.
Okay.
So I'm not taking something that's much better out than cost. Four or five.
Okay. Interesting. I think that's good. Yeah, definitely good stuff. As we close out the meta segment, are there any particular cards aside from aggressive negotiations that like you target to try to put in your deck if you as long as you can, right? Like so for example, let me give an example. One of the cards that I try to target if I can get it is the Cantwell ship. The it's like it's a villainy card, 7 cost ship. It's the Cantwell Arrestor Cruiser. Especially if I'm playing 7 cost, the blue, it's a blue villainy. When played, you may disclose some cards. If you do exhaust an enemy unit, that unit can't be readied while this unit is in play. That's a really hard card to deal with. There's not a lot of single target removal. It's an uncommon. So it's not necessarily like it's a deck, it's a card you probably can see in like your pool. I love that card, and I always try to get it if I can. Are there any cards? Maybe we'll go with you first, Corey, and then we'll go to Kenny. Any cards that you're like, ah, oh, man, this would be nice to have. Like, I want this card in my deck.
Well, obviously, the obvious ones are some of the legendaries, right? Like Queen Amidala and things like that. But no, I do think when you see a card that comes out and you're like, all right, I'm gonna play this card no matter what. Like, I actually liked the Sentinel, that just white Sentinel vehicle. I forget the name of it, but I thought that card was great because it has plot too, right? That's what I'm thinking of. And So you can delay your leader flip and get that out with a sentinel and protect your leader, which is really fun because now you don't have to worry about him getting like smacked around. But I think things with sentinel usually in the limited format are pretty strong.
The card you're talking about is the Remote Escort Tank. It is a six
Yes, thank you.
cost heroism unit. When played, give us a unit sentinel for this phase, and it is plots 5/5. 5/5 is pretty strong with sentinel. So I hear you.
Yeah, and
Oh,
you played to that on me in our pre-release, and it definitely was one that I remember. I'm like, oh, I gotta remember this card because that screwed me over.
it's devastating once you have it. Yeah, like flipping your leader, protecting it like a Leia, and then hitting with Leia, giving it a token. This is fun. How about you, Kenny? Any cards? Any cards in particular that you're like a big fan of?
Two, the Imperial Dark Trooper, great. The three, Sudden Ferocity is really good. It red is just not your color. Other than that, like Beguile's good.
Beguile's an interesting one. Like I haven't seen that too much
Really
in Constructed, but I've seen a lot of people starting to talk about that one.
low. Beguile. Beguile, for anyone who doesn't know what that card does, it is an event card. It is three cost, so relatively cheap. Look at it. You get to look at an opponent's hand, which is, dude, blows my mind that you get to do that as a three cost for free, and then choose a non-leader unit that opponent controls that costs six or less, and return it to its owner's hand. Which, so not only do you get to look at an opponent's hand and see what they're going to potentially play, so you can like know if they're about to brick or not. You can return any unit, a non-linear unit that the opponent controls. So if they have an upgraded unit with like whatever like item
Some
on it,
ferocity.
Sun Ferocity, and that's on a non-leader, put that away. And it's six costs, anything six or less. So there's a restriction. So like it's not as devastating like later on in the game, but you get to do all these things. I think this is a really good card that is balanced. Like it's a new upgraded Waylay in my opinion, which is a very powerful card from set one. So Beguile, that is a good card, and it's a cunning card, single aspect, only cunning, not heroism and villainy, which means that you could throw it into any yellow deck without being punished. So I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good call out there.
Okay. All right. So moving on to the final segment of the show and the year. We're going into the theme of the podcast. We did collection, compete, collect, and now we're doing the last C, which is connect. And we're doing highlights for 2025 for connecting and just kind of seeing like what were like the best parts of 2025. And I know I'm throwing this question out to you guys like without you having really thought about it, so I'll give you some time to think about it, and I'll go first. For me, this was a busy year that I didn't realize how much I actually traveled. I went to Milan, I went to Minneapolis, went to Galactics, I went to a variety of other like events, sector qualifiers and everything like that, planetary qualifiers. And pretty much at each event, I have met a listener of ours, we built relationships to increase or to introduce someone to our podcast. And what I've really learned, like truly, and I know we've talked about this a lot, is that the Star Wars Limited community is pretty wholesome, I think, right? I have not, I personally, and I'm not saying like, this is my perspective, have not really met many bad actors within the community. So people who are like really toxic, for example, might take advantage of others, like. It's if they are there, they're few and far between. And as someone who this is my first CCG, I really, really appreciate that because it's helped keep me within the game, right? And I think that's reflected with a lot of other people. But for me, like thinking about 2025, just meeting all these people, saying hi, like I'm an extrovert, so it's a little easier for me to do that. But even then, meeting Kenny again never would have happened in any other if it wasn't for Star Wars Unlimited. And I get to have him in our podcast, which is really cool because I really wanted to I really wanted to do that for a long time. So that's at least for me that the first reflection of 2025 is that community is really, really wholesome. So, Corey, anything that comes to your mind off the top of your head
Oh
when you think
yeah,
about
absolutely.
2025?
This community, like going a little bit of what you said, is this community has been amazing, and building the relationships that we've built through this game specifically has been fantastic. Gil, I met you through this game. Like
Sure.
the first time I ever met you was you and me playing a match at Mythico Studios, whatever. That was the first time I ever met you, and here we are doing a podcast so many years later. It's
Yeah.
amazing, and getting to meet and again, getting to meet all the people that we play with, and there are really hard, like I can count on one hand maybe the times where I've seen like a player that's been not necessarily the greatest to be around, and that's I think pretty impressive for a game that has as many players as it does. And so I'm just so excited to continue meeting new people and connecting with people. And I think I mentioned prior podcast, like we went to Galactics, met a bunch of people there. A dinosaur, for example, we got him to come on a podcast and talk about his run from day one to day three,
Yeah.
and then he had us do a podcast with him or a video for him, which was really cool. And we got to meet some other content creators doing that, so that was exciting. And just again, meeting all the people and playing the games against so many different people that you would never have an opportunity to play a game with or meet in person, from all over the country and the world. Because Europe, Canada, they're all over. So it's been really neat.
Yeah. How about you, Kenny? Anything in 2025 in regard to like just connecting with people or connecting through the game that really sticks out to you? It's okay to say no, by the way.
I should say it's okay to say no. No. Yeah, as far as like one event that really sticks out, and it's not even the event itself that does, but going to Richmond, that was like a 6 hour drive, and I went down, stayed in the hotel, and there, and some other friends were there, people from New Jersey, and like I've never, like, I don't do that for a hobby. Like this is the only hobby I've ever had, and it's more than a hobby now. This is like, it's still a hobby, but it's part of my life in a way that's more than another hobby has been. And that's not just in the game, that's in the people, it's in the things I do for this game and for those people and spend time with them. Like the people I've met, whether it's back from, I guess it doesn't feel like it's been years, but it's at once a couple years now. Is that right?
Game's been going for 2 years,
Yeah,
but
a little less than 2 years.
People I met back then, or people that I met this year in 2025. Like there's a group of people I met, I'm pretty sure it was this year, that like I'll now see on a weekly basis to play other board games with. That are
Oh.
like I've never been to like I never had a local game store. I never had a, but now I do. And I just, because I happened to walk in there one day when they're doing a pre-release 2 years ago. And now I've got like a dozen friends that I wouldn't have never met, or and people that I interact with online I never would have met. And I'm doing something, because honestly, it's not even the, I just love Star Wars. That's what got me into it. It's not even like I wasn't looking for a card game to play. I just enjoy Star Wars, and so I pursued this, and it's so much more than the Star Wars, so much more than a card game. It's all the people I met. You got, and I was honest, I was looking to like do this in a some point earlier, I just couldn't find the right time. You guys, like what you were saying before about the community being wholesome, I agree with it. It's extremely positive and inclusive community, and that's like a high bar. But still, with that, like you guys, the podcast in general, and you guys are like some of the friendliest people I've met on doing this. So I just wanted to give that shout out. Before it was too late,
Thanks.
before we had to wrap up.
I appreciate that. We did not pay him to say this, by the way. This is an honest feedback that Kenny has given to us. Just an FYI. So no, but thank you. That really does mean a lot.
Absolutely.
Seriously,
No,
Kenny.
That is like what we're here for, is to grow this community in the right way, right? And not, we want everyone to be having fun and to have a great experience, even if it's a game, like something that they're new to, even if they're losing. Like, that's when you know something is good, is when you can have fun because of the people. Even when you're not doing well, you can enjoy the game and the experience because of the people that are around you and the people that you're participating with. And like you said, like, there are people that I know now that I feel like I will know for the rest of my life because of this game, and that's something that I can't say about a lot of things.
I want to add something Kenny said, because or elaborate or maybe talk a little bit more about something, is that like this is like swoo is like life, like swoo life. I don't know, because it is a hobby. It is at its core a hobby. You're either collecting, you're playing, or maybe you're doing a little bit of everything like I do. But like same thing. I have never like met essentially a bunch of strangers, right? Like walking into a store and then somehow become friends and then road trip to like a PQ or something like 3 hours away and be like, all right, let's all stay in the same hotel. Like we actually don't really know each other like that. You know what I mean? So it is interesting that like the relationship you build when you're playing this game really accelerates a lot of things, in my opinion. It accelerates like the development of a relationship. Because I from like as there's maybe some psychology stuff, or maybe I don't know, whatever, but like I'm like not young, right? I'm not like a kid, and I'm not, like I have established like life outside of this game, and I have like friends and family and everything like that. And as you get older, right, to me it gets harder to meet new people and then be friendly and then do stuff like what you talked about, like road trip for 6 hours to go to a place, maybe have some dinner, maybe start playing board games with them. Like that's not easy, right? Building relationships is not an easy thing, right? And I just think that's a very powerful thing that see this what this pod with not podcast what this game has done for me, and it seems like it's done for you, is really actually connect you to people that you could spend some quality time with, not just with the game, but outside of it. You said that you walked in on a, so this is for Kenny. You said you walked in at a pre-release event. Were those some of those people are still in your life, I'll say, like some of those players that were doing it, or like have you, you're like, ah, I'm done with you. Just kidding.
I don't the day I actually first walked into that event, it was a Sunday. It was a Sunday before set one came out. I don't like I didn't talk to anybody there besides you guys know Dan,
The store manager,
store owner of the game shop with me, with So Gaming. He was just me and my brother walked in because we were just it was like the week after New Year's, or I don't remember what it was. I don't remember. It was whenever leading up to set one release. And he just walked up to us and like, "Are you here for Star Wars?" And we're like, "No," but he said Star Wars, so I checked it out a little bit.
Nice.
But we had somewhere to be, so I went home and ended up like just watching videos about the game for like hours the rest of, like that afternoon. And then I like looked up the store on the Discord. I was like, "Hey, this Thursday night there's the pre-release. What do I need to bring for that? Like, do I need to have anything, or do I just show up?" But yeah, as far as that actual event that Thursday night, I remember all three people I played that day. I still see two of them regularly. One of them I see occasionally. But yeah, so I they are still part of my life, those people.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean like deep in your life. I just th think about like because the same thing for me. Like I walked into a pre-release, not exactly the same. I walked into a pre-release event. I think I actually saw Elemental there, Mike, who's one of our locals. And a lot of the people that I played with a year and a half ago, now I have like friendships with this year, like where they really spiked and like that relationship really did develop. And they are actually constant fixtures in my life. So I didn't know if it was the same thing for you, but like it sounds like there's some people are still around, which is really cool. I mean, again, lots change within a year. a lot changes. So it's really cool to see that there are some constants out there. Corey, any other highlights for you for two tour 2025 before we close out?
As far as connecting with we got a chance because of you, Gil. We have this podcast and got to do a lot of different things within the community. And obviously a big highlight is meeting some of the designers of this game and getting a chance to connect with them and doing like the interviews that we did at PAX. So that's been amazing. And then getting to go to the content creator meetup and connecting with people who are like-minded as well, doing content for this game is really like really neat to see because like you had mentioned before, like we love this game so much. We just want to keep talking about it that we created a podcast and start creating content and now putting it out there for people. And seeing how that's grown within our community has just been like so like overwhelmingly. I feel like overwhelmed by how much this community has grown. And I remember oh, should we do a Discord? I don't know if that's like something we want to do or not. Is there are there people who actually use it? And it is one of the most active Discords for this game that I see. Like it's always constantly being utilized to spark conversations, talk about decks, share experiences, share struggles, and everyone's always lifting each other up, which is what I love about this community and connecting with people. Because I inherently am also an introvert, Kenny. I think we're both like we're not going to put ourselves out there, but this game has made it so easy for us and for me at least to be able to go out and meet people and put myself out on platform as publicly as this, because it's not something I would have done on my own.
As the resident extrovert, I'm going to keep collecting you guys. I'm going to keep collecting you into my
Please,
collection.
please.
Last thing I want to share is for as we reflect on 2025, I would be remiss if I did not mention something about generosity. And I want to, what I what something that I saw that was really powerful this year was that, and it only happened like a couple of weeks ago, was that someone had reached out to me and was like, "Hey, Gil, I have this like show, I have this Phasma showcase that I'm not selling or anything like that, and I'd love to give it, donate it to the podcast, for something." And in my head, I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Like, I mean, thank you for, first of all, being willing to trust me with your showcase to be able to just give it away, right? Because that's not a cheap show. Like, showcases aren't necessarily cheap. $30 is still can be expensive for some people, right? Like, it's all relative, right? But it was a Phasma showcase that this person had offered to give away. And I kind of forgot about it a little bit because I didn't, we always, we do so much stuff and I'm always already giving up a lot of stuff away anyway. But what they did, which I thought was really, really nice, and again, kind of showcases connect, as a concept. There was another listener on our Discord that has been very positive, very active, Calness, and he has been trying to build like this Phasma or Third Sister decks for like for a long time. And this the person actually just gave it to him. It's like, hey, you've been such a good person in this community. I know you want to do this deck. Like, here's the showcase. I was like, it's like, what? What? This happens in like real life. People are like nice. So, what I mean to say by that is that like as the year closes, it has been a really good year, I think, for the game. It's really, really good for Kenny of being top eight in sector qualifiers, top planetary qualifiers. I have to shout out. You don't brag, I'll brag for you, Kenny, by the way. That's what we're doing.
Thank you.
This has been a really good part of the game. I think there have been bumps along the road, but we have all weathered those bumps together, and there's positive stuff going forward. I am looking forward to another year of Star Wars Unlimited, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on a regular basis and maybe the next Galactics or whatever that might be, so that we can keep growing this community and get this to the long haul, 5 to 10 years, maybe 20, who knows? So, because at the end of the day, it's that's I think that's where we all want to see it.
No, and if you guys see us and we don't see you, come up and say hi, because that's connect as much as possible. That's what we want. The more the merrier.
Okay. And with that, I'm gonna end the podcast now. Again, it's almost, you know, it is the night of New Year's Eve here in America. So I wanted to let you guys go. Again, thank you so much for your time. Very, you know, you didn't have to do it, so I really appreciate it. And for anyone else out there, Happy New Year, and may the force be with you.